The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
And hello, everybody. This is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me. And I've got a great show here today, and I know I say it all the time, but it truly is a great show. And I got a very special guest. His name is Bob Hughes. He's a senior partner at the Camden Consulting Group located in Boston. And today, Bob and I are going to be discussing leadership, specifically the traits that are common among the most effective leaders, and I'll tell you a little bit about Bob in a second, but this is a great show for me. It's an area that is just so critically important, being a leader. And even if you don't have people reporting to you, can you lead in the discipline for which you work at? Can you be your leader of yourself, if you will? Because the more control, the more you're in touch with yourself, the more that you got your stuff together, and my drill sergeant used to use a different word many years ago, the more that people will gravitate to you. So leadership goes beyond what we sometimes traditionally think, but we're going to talk about it as today as people in charge of something and other people, if you will. So what we're going to cover today is that being a leader is different than what it was maybe 10 or even 5 years ago. The workplace today has become a fast-paced place of change, and many more demands are being placed on our leaders. It involves working with many individuals, many teams across different time zones at times. It's a complex environment out there, and leading and managing have moved well beyond just telling everybody what to do or what to get done. What a number of different leadership styles that exist out there, the best leaders share some common traits. And I always like to talk about leaders versus bosses. Leaders get their teams engaged. Leaders show their teams, their individuals on their teams, how to find and use their full capabilities. Bosses just tell people what to do. And teams that are engaged tend to want to follow their leader to the ends of the earth. Folks who work for bosses kind of sit back, do what they're told, no more, no less, and they like to watch the boss get themselves in a jam. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there, and we're going to drill down with that with Bob today. I first heard about our guest, Bob Hughes, when I read a blog post of his that was entitled The 10 Top Traits of Great Leaders. My initial reaction was, wow, I like this post. And the second thing I did was to reach out to Bob via LinkedIn. So I was using my social media to expand my centers of influence, and I connected with him. We eventually spoke, and he agreed to be a guest on our show here today. So before we bring Bob in, let me just give you a little more background with his bio. As I mentioned, he's a senior partner at Camden Consulting Group in Boston with oversight for leadership development, coaching, and knowledge management. A skilled strategist, facilitator, and coach, Bob designs and architects executive coaching and leadership development services customized to the unique needs of his clients. Bob has coached in a wide variety of industries and businesses, including financial services, life sciences, biotechnology, retail, insurance, professional services, high technology, and information technology. Before Camden, Bob was managing director and partner of Strategic Decisions Group, but throughout his career, Bob has worked on and led strategic consulting engagements for numerous clients across various industries to enhance business strategies, improve tangible operating results, and increase his clients' capabilities. Bob has spent a fair amount of time in the trenches doing the right things, and that's going to be valuable to us. Now, the website for the Camden Consulting is www.camdenconsulting.com, and I'll be repeating that a couple of times during the course of our hour together. And as usual, the call-in number today is 866-472-5790. Or if you're bashful, like I always say about hearing your voice on the radio, heck, I can do it. You can do it. You can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. So Bob has been waiting long enough to get in here. Bob, good morning, and thanks so much for good afternoon, and thanks so much for agreeing to be on the show.
Hey, Chris, great to be with you. Very much looking forward to this discussion, getting into, you know, the traits of great leaders with you and your listeners.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So let's get going as quickly as we can. And let me ask you one question that I always hear people talk about. Bob, are leaders born or are they made?
So that's a great question, you know, that comes up. And there are definitely some that are born that have those certain intangible qualities that we all look at. But, you know, quite frankly, we wouldn't be in business if we thought that was the only thing.
I understand.
Right? There's a tremendous amount that you can develop.
Okay. So it is a natural part, and we're going to get into it, of any leadership's, any leader's, if you will, portfolio, is the recognition and the commitment to ongoing learning. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And when we think of this, it's like you got to really know yourself. Right, and you got to look at what you're doing and be willing, you know, to open up and see what you're doing that works great, what you need to do, and make an adjustment.
Okay, got it. So, you're in the consulting business, leadership, strategy, strategic issues, things of that nature. From a leadership point of view, what has made people reach out to you? What have been the issues? Some of the top three or so issues that people have been forced to confront or the need to confront, and they've had to bring you in to help them out?
So, you know, it really can be a number of things, and it comes from two primary channels for us. We have long-term relationships either with the HR folks in an organization or the executives themselves. And they both, you know, they're pretty similar issues when they're reaching out to us. It can usually be something around, you know, there's a challenge. Somebody was on a great track, they're having a challenge. Or something has changed in the business, and they want us to be able to work with someone to adapt to that change. You know, when you think of a set of competencies, though, it really can be from a whole number of things why people call. The reason, you know, that they call us is they're thinking, this person could use a coach, or this cohort could really use some coaching, and we want to get them to the next level. You know, the issues could range anything from strategic vision, presentation, working with others, you know, a whole host of things.
Sure. You know, as a coach also, you know, the question for me is, when you take on a client, and this is important for our listeners because if they clearly, you know, you and I believe everybody should have a coach, but from the client's perspective, what do they have to commit to in order to get the biggest bang for the buck in the investment they're making in engaging a person like yourself?
Well, you know, if you think of it, it's a really good question. You think of the three parties involved. There's the coachee, the person's next level manager, and we'll say an HR person. We're really looking for a commitment from all three of them. And the idea, you know, this begins with, you know, we've all heard this, but you've got to set it up well. The last thing we want is actually someone to call up and say, hey, we need a coach. Can you be in here tomorrow morning? The person that's getting coaching really needs to already have gotten some feedback from their manager, know that, hey, this is an investment. This is not the last thing before we let you go. It's got to be really set up, to use a phrase that I have, is they're ready to go. So that when they meet one of our coaches, and we've scoped it out, of course, and we really have good examples, the person isn't sitting there going, I don't know why I'm here. That's just when that happens, we know we got to back way up, and we work hard to not let that happen.
Yeah, sometimes people will use you need a coach as an excuse to avoid, you know, a basic leadership responsibility of giving people candid, constructive feedback.
Yeah, that's it exactly. If you hear, oh, just get them a coach, we know that, hey, you got to set this up a little better. You got to really understand what's going on. And we actually asked the manager, when you ask what does it make to be successful, the manager, you know, that next level manager, they have to put time into this too. It's not a huge yep. amount of time, but they got to make that commitment too, because if they don't support what the person ultimately is going to do, it's very difficult to create any kind of change.
You know, that tracks with, and I think you and I talked about this in one of our couple of conversations. What you just said tracks with what I use is I use a little three-legged stool to talk about the importance of development. I try not to talk about training. You know, you train your puppy to go on the newspaper. But what you're trying to do with your employees, leaders, is to get them to function with certain desired behaviors. And the three-legged stool that I always talk about is the first leg is providing someone with the opportunity to learn the new skill. The second leg is the give the person the opportunity to apply the skill they've just learned. And the third leg is the opportunity for them to get constructive feedback on how well they're applying it. And if those three legs are not present in the sequence in which they need to be, development, change in behavior doesn't take place, and then the end result is, hey, you know, Chris just wasn't the right coach for Harry here. And that tracks, I think, with what you just said in terms of the involvement of the individual's direct superior, the HR person, and, of course, the individual. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at those three, there's one that I might put at the beginning. Let's circle back on that.
Sure, go ahead.
If you think of that opportunity to learn and the opportunity to get really good at it, that opportunity to learn can often come directly from a boss. One of my clients had a great phrase where they said, I know I'm in many more rooms than the person that reports to me. And what they meant by that is they were on a senior leadership team. Something would come up. Their person, just as an illustration, wanted to do something on presentation. The boss was creating the opportunities for that person. That actually
right.
let the coachee feel like, hey, you know, not my boss isn't, quote-unquote, just supporting this. She is finding places to put me in front of people, which happened to be that person's goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. I mean, I far too often we probably have both seen situations where people get excited about learning a new skill, and the first thing they hear from their immediate superior is, well, you know, we'll get to that in a week or so. You've got to clean this up first. And
yep.
And now all of a sudden the investment in their development is turning into a negative. And that person never really truly gets engaged along those lines. You know, I once heard there's an old Chinese proverb, and feel free to use it, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So if the HR person superior and that person have done their work, it's a logical progression that you or, you know, or whomever slides into that picture to affect the change necessary. Okay?
Yeah, it makes
Alrighty.
A lot of sense with that. One, can we talk one thing right before the
sure.
three-legged stool? Maybe before someone is ready to sit on that stool, there
yeah.
is a, you know, we really want to focus on a good assessment where someone knows where they're supposed to be headed, right? It's like, I have a goal, but they also know how they're showing up, and they get a very good personal understanding of that. In essence, you know, it can be a gap. But if they have that, then we can do the opportunities to learn where you apply it and get more feedback on that. But they really have to have a good grounding of where they're standing and how they're showing up to others.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They need to be that picture of exactly where they are so that where they need to go is more relevant and they can get that buy-in and see what the value will be to them in terms of engaging into the development of efforts and so forth. Good point. Again, we'll make it a four-legged stool. It's fine with me. You know, I'll call it the use leg, and we'll go from there. Well, this first segment has gone by pretty quickly. We've got about 30 seconds left. So rather than get into the common traits now and have to stop, let's end it here for this first segment. Remind you again that the call-in number is 866-472-5790. Or you can email me your questions at chris@chrisruisi.com. And if you do that, I will send you a copy of my book signed and maybe even another surprise, some Step Up and Play Big Chocolate. So stay there. Bob and I will be back in about 90 seconds.
The the business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to our second segment with my guest today, Bob Hughes of the Camden Consulting Group, or Camden Consulting. And before we get too far along here, let me put a plug in, a shameless plug for me. If you want to know more information about my book, you can go to chrisruisi.com. It's on my product page. Or you can go buy it from Amazon, the second choice being the preferred choice. I guarantee that you'll get something from it. So, Bob, let's get to your blog post on the top 10 traits of great leaders. And the first thing that you talked about is that a great leader is results-oriented. Let's just put it right on the table. You got to get things done. You got to get the right things done. They get paid for delivering results. So tell me more about a leader who is results-oriented.
Yeah, you know, this is just pivotal. When we talk about different traits, you know, we've got a good set here, and anyone to be a great leader, you have to have a whole set. And it's one, you can't just have, there isn't a silver bullet here where you just have one and, oh, I don't have to worry about the others. But I really do believe these first two, and especially results, stands out. And I think it's so important today. We're all busy. Heck, if you know, if you go up to somebody and say, how you doing? They'll say, I am busy, right?
Yep.
The real key point is it's not about activity and effort. That is important. That is good. But there is a scoreboard. You have to get your results. Now, you have to define what are your results. People should know that so they really know what that scoreboard is. But you can't say, well, I worked really hard on it. We have to have a focus that we're getting the results done. Because in one sense, effort doesn't matter. You got to get the results. That's why people have to have that front and center.
No, you're absolutely right. Some people are some misguided folks, and I don't mean that to be insulting, think that the length of their to-do list is the only indicator, or the number of hours that they put in every day is the only indicator of how hard they work. And they're getting lost in the weeds, if you will, as you said, as to what they're delivering in terms of the results and the contribution they make to their organization. I mean, it goes without saying, we all work hard, but what's the right measuring stick? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think a simple thing, all of us, you know, me included on this, when you have, you know, you're looking at your week or you're looking at your day, you should be saying, you know, what are the results or the intermediate results I should be focused on? And you just said a really critical key word. It's how you spend your time. You've got a lot on there. And I'm not saying drop things and don't be known to be responsive, but you have to say, hey, you know, I really need to move the ball on these three because they're headed in the results direction. It's not just I built up my big to-do list and I'm just checking it off. We got to really say, what's getting me towards the goal line?
Yep. I try to get clients to focus on what are the top three things you need to work on today. You'll get some other things done along the way, but focus the majority of your time and effort on those three things.
That's right. And I think that it's that kind of, you know, attitude to bring to things that's so important. And really, you know, saying on those top three things, saying, how does this relate to the result I want to get? And what are the things, where can I put my effort? How should we go about this? It's really can be a difference. And I think, you know, we all have smartphones, right? So the daily demands are really leaning on people. And those things, as they come in, you got to be careful not to get so sucked into that you're just busy.
No, you're right. And, you know, based on what you just said in terms of what are the things that get me to the results I want to go to, I'm going to skip number two on your list of 10 and come back to it and go right to number three, because if you don't have a vision, it's hard to tell what things you should be doing. So talk to me about vision.
Yeah, this is great. We just completed one of our programs called the Organizational Leader Program, and one of my technical clients, folks that, you know, come from a very technical background, had a great little line on this. It was a little bit along the lines of, oh, vision, that's one of those words, you know, and it can cause people to roll their eyes. But
right.
What she said is, I get this, you know, and if vision is about what is that destination, what path should we be on? And I believe every leader, no matter what part of an organization you're in, you don't have to be the top, you need a vision, a description, a picture of here's what all this effort is leading towards.
Right.
You've got to have that picture, right? Otherwise, we're just kind of working.
Yeah, vision isn't having a vision isn't exclusively owned by the corner office. You know,
exactly.
You know, it's you. You know, I talk about this at times and with some of the work I do with HR professionals. You know, they're always seeking the seat at the table, and I'm telling them, forget about the seat at the table. Create a vision for your function that complements the vision and strategy of your company. And that vision, maybe you agree or disagree, but that vision, it's okay for it to change the closer you get to it, because you always want that next destination a little further out.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And you said a really good thing there is this is not the exclusive realm of the CEO or the C-suite. We're talking, like you said, an HR person in that function. What's the vision for that? And you want to have it align and relate to the overall company mission. I mean, it absolutely should do
right.
That. But, you know, I think if people can think of this as if you know, it's the classic elevator pitch. Just if somebody came up to you and said, you know, what do? I want a leader to be able to say, you know, describe their vision. So somebody goes, you know, I really see what you're doing. And you should be able to have that right at the ready. It's not some big exercise that takes 6 months.
No, you're right. You know, from your experience and with clients and so forth, what's the hardest thing that they have to deal with when they try to create that vision?
So I think it's a very good question. It's called the blank sheet of paper, right?
Right.
When people are looking at that, and sometimes they just don't know how to go about it. And
yep.
I think, you know, this is where, you know, there's a lot you could Google and understand on the web and get some examples. I would say to people, look around your organization. It may have an overall vision. Different departments may have it. Draw on stuff that is done. So you literally don't have that blank piece of paper. But what you're really trying to answer is two very simple questions. What are we about and why are we doing this? So you start answering those questions, you can get a few nice pieces down on paper. That's another thing I say. Write these things down that
yep.
can describe that. I think the biggest thing for people is it takes a little effort, and the blank sheet of paper just can cause people to freeze.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes their fallback is they end up describing their current situation.
Yeah, that's right, and you don't want that. Like you said, you want to have it out and pick your time frame. You know, this is not a 20-year exercise. I would like to even see somebody look out 1 year.
Yep, I go 1 to 2 years, tops.
That's right. That's a good time frame. And then, as you say, as you move along and it tweaks a little bit and we're now, you know, a half half of the way into the year, you can modify that. These aren't static things either.
Okay, so let's go back to number two on your list. Was a great leader is customer focused. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. And probably one thing to help people, just because we're using the word customer, this can be external or your internal customers. My guess is a lot of your listeners, you may not be direct, right? They're not directly customer facing. But what I'd like all of us to think, especially as leaders, they really get results and they get, here's who our customer is. You know, if it's another department, this is what they're looking for from us. And you do that, get outside the glass. In other words, don't just look at them through the glass. Get over there, engage with them, and really know what it is they're looking for. All your efforts should be put towards that.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. When you talk about internal customers, everybody says, oh, yeah, we have that challenge. What's the best advice you can give somebody in terms of having clarity as to who their internal customer is?
So one thing is, that's a great word you just used on clarity. Part of this, let's go right to good, tried, and true, Habit 5 from Stephen Covey, seek to understand. Get
right
out there and talk with those customers. Really understand what they're looking for. Now, I think as you pose that, you were saying, what if I don't even know who my customers are, right?
Yeah, yep.
Let's hope people aren't too much in that problem. But
yeah,
what I would say is, okay, now that sounds like there's a discussion with your boss, with others around you, of getting your arms around, look, who are we really serving in this? And it could be one that has just grown over time and kind of gotten out of hand. But people should have good clarity on who they are, but then what it is they're really looking for, because that's the best way to be successful.
No, you're absolutely right. I sometimes suggest to my clients that when they're writing their vision, to call some of their best clients or customers and ask them two questions. And the first question is, what was it about us that made you want to do business with us? And what is it that makes you keep doing business with us? So that they get some insights into how others see them, if you will, you know, as a way to fill up that blank sheet of paper. What I want to do, Bob, because we have a little bit of a problem with the way we're hearing you, we're going to go to break earlier here, everybody, and we're going to fix that technical thing. And then we're going to come back and pick up on the other 10 traits with Bob. So stay there, and we'll be back in about a minute or two.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And welcome back. This is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to the third segment of Step Up and Play Big with me. My guest today is Bob Hughes of Candom Consulting, and we've been talking about the top 10 traits of a leader, and we've talked about results orientation, being customer focused, and the whole idea of having a vision so that you know where you're headed towards. So the fourth one, Bob, is be strategically focused. I mean, that's sort of like understood, but why is it important?
So, you know, this is one of those, and let's make a good distinction that you did on the vision and saying not the corner office. I want to, you know, this is not about the overall organization strategy. Yeah, what I like to say is wherever you sit in that organization, you need to be as strategic as possible. And what that really means is you really understand the important issues your organization is facing, and you understand how your work, your group, whatever it is how it relates to that, and you have a very good understanding of what the drivers are, the strategic issues out in the focus, out in the future. And if you make that your focus, I think it's hard. Again, we just get buried in the weeds, right? And this is one of those, you got to see the forest, not the bark on the tree.
Okay, okay. What was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. How about that? The next one is of the traits is effectively getting work done through others. And I know everybody thinks that's what leaders do. You get work done through others. But it's not done that easily, especially if one doesn't appreciate and understand the key to delegation.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this is one where especially, in, you know, all of people you work with and our listeners here, you know, very smart people. And they think, you know, the best way to get something done is myself. Here's the real problem with that. It doesn't scale. So if you want to tackle big things and bigger things, you have to get really good at how do I work through others. And I'd say put their intellect into getting that process, you know, that delegation process, the letting go of things, giving others responsibility is something that is critical. Otherwise, you won't scale.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, I wrote a couple of blog posts in the past about the good news is you're the go-to person. The bad news is you're the go-to person.
Exactly.
And you know, a real job of a leader is to develop other go-to people, because otherwise, as you say, the magnitude of activities that they think they're the only one who can get done, you know, that's not going to let up. That's always going to be increasing, and eventually you become the major cog in the wheel, right? I mean, am I right on that?
Yeah, that's right. And you can be, it just becomes limiting with that. And look, I think we've got a theme running through the conversation today around, you know, the daily demands. Why is it hard is, well, there's a lot coming at you, and there's always the long-term versus short-term trade-off all the time. But I bet each person, you know, there's a very simple thing they can do is run through that list. You should do this on a regular basis and start to ask, who should be doing this? Where should this really sit? And the thing is, most of us just have our names on things and we default to that. If just before you default to yourself, you could say, who's the right person to have this to do this? They got to start asking that question.
Okay, well, got an email here from a gentleman named Mike in Chicago. And Mike wants to know, all this sounds really good, but how do I balance it between everything else that I have to do and try to be a good leader and put up with my boss, my customers, and my employees?
So it's a great question. That actually gets to our daily demand thing. Mike is right on this. The thing you have to do is create the space, right? When you're thinking of where you're spending time, and I like the put up, I got to put up with X, I got to put up with Y, you got to start looking at it that you do have to create your space. Not saying you can do it every day, but
sure.
I like to use the week as a unit of time for this. Mm-hmm. Each week, you should have something on this that you're working. I wouldn't take 10 of these to work on. That's way too much. But figure out where you should work, which one you should be working on, and make some progress with it each week. People should be able to do that, but you have to create the space. The world will conspire against eliminating your space.
I often use the example about how do you what people do with their time is. I said, look, you're probably giving your time to everyone and everything, and it's almost like taking all your worldly possessions, throwing them on your lawn, and asking everybody to come and take some.
Right.
You know, and that's how people treat their time sometimes. But you know, how, you know, I sometimes tell people, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this, that it's okay during the course of the day to take a break. You know, put yourself in time out. I often say, as I sort of change the scenery, do a mental reboot. How important is that for a leader to do so that they're able not to get caught up in the overwhelm?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great technique. Well, look, there's even, we can go to some psychological research that people work really well in bursts of, you know,
right,
20, 30 minutes. And if you're just plugging through something, your creativity can go down. You can run into issues like that. But if you leverage the, I'm going to work in bursts on this, you can actually start to get refreshed between it. You get a different perspective. And, you know, it depends. We're talking a little generally here. It depends what you're working on. Some of the things, like that customer one earlier, maybe go talk to a couple of customers. You know, get out from behind your own desk and
yep,
be able to go out there and engage with others on it.
No, absolutely right. Okay, now here's a good one. Number 6 of our top 10 traits, be good at dealing with conflict. I've met leaders who try to avoid conflict, which only makes it worse.
That, you know, that's it exactly. Look, we all, I don't think anyone, well, there's probably a few percentage of the population that actually really likes it, but most really don't, and the strategy is avoid. You got to stop doing that. Conflict is actually a marker that there's an opportunity. You know, if you and I are thinking about, you know, hey, what even should the show today be focused on? We're not always going to start at the same place.
Yep.
If you can go where you, I say with conflict, start small. Don't pick the biggest, most important thing in your entire organization where to practice your conflict. But it's really about starting discussions with people, putting your own judgment aside, understand where they come from, make sure you really get it, and get your own points out. And if you start working it that way, you can get good at this. Because if you don't resolve the conflict, it means we're not going to be on the same page, and it just causes too much energy to be lost. It's a friction in business if you have too much of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I try to do is, myself personally and when working with others, is to find that common ground. And what I mean by that is if I can get everybody to agree on what the outcome needs to be, that's a home run, because we can always disagree a little bit on how we're going to get there, but we'll be more likely to find compromise if we're still agreeing where the end result should be, and that's what I call common ground. And this, as you said, conflict sometimes helps to uncover other opportunities or aspects of a crisis or a situation or a particular matter that maybe we all hadn't thought about, but we should. And, I mean, nobody goes to work to pick a fight, at least I don't think so. I think that the concept of common ground kind of fits into this. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It's like when you think if we're coming to talk about something, if you be a little strategic on how we're approaching that, you want to say, can we identify where we agree? Let's get the common ground. Get those things out. Can we agree on what that outcome is we're going for? Because if we do have that in place, then we can start getting that, you know, where the real difference might be how we're going about it. But if we can get the what, why, things where we agree, you're starting to build the areas that you have in agreement and really understanding where it's in isolation that are the disagreements, and you can work with those.
Yep. Now, what advice do you give a leader as to how do they decide and when do they decide that somebody has to be the adult in the room and cut a situation off that could get ugly and table it or move it on to something else? You know, what's the best way to handle that?
You know, the thing, we actually talk about this all the time and use this ourselves. If you're in one of those, there is a very important thing that we skip over, and that is, who's the decision maker?
Right.
So if you're actually the decision maker and you're getting input, you know, at some point you can say, and I think most of us don't want to be a dictator. If
mm-hmm.
there's a clear consensus coming up where you can see there are two paths and one's really better, it's great. You were able to get it through input and you get it. But say, let's paint the corner. Like, let's paint ourselves in a corner. That's not happening. There are very divergent views. The person that has the D makes the call. Now, there's a little art of that. There's a little science of that. but it's really looking at who's the decision maker, because it's not a democracy, right?
No.
Right? I think that who is the decision maker is the critical thing that gets overlooked when you're in a tangle sometimes.
Well, yeah, if we go back to the first point we talked about, you're accountable for getting results. At some point in time, the leader has to make the decision to move forward. And I guess sometimes there's a reluctance on some leaders' parts, or leaders in development, we'll call them, because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or have somebody think that their input wasn't valuable. But at the end of the day, I used to sometimes say to folks, we're switching from dialogue to monologue, because we have to move this whole issue along. Is that just the way it happens?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And there's smart things people can do, you know, ahead of time. If you say, you know, if I had a group and there are 10 people, you know, reporting to me, I would set up and say, hey, we're trying to figure out a new direction on this. Let's go. We're going to have some input. That'll make the final call, right?
Right.
If you already set that up ahead of time, then people know, hey, we're moving from, you know, input time to decision time. But you've already set it up that way, so it doesn't become as big a deal. You can even get that as a pattern of behavior that people get used to.
Oh, exactly right. So, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that when you're having those kind of meetings as the leader, one, have an agenda, and number two, state your intention at the very beginning as to what you want the outcome to be.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Or what we're trying to accomplish as a result of being in this room. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, good.
You're exactly right.
All righty, good. I love to be told I'm right. That's good. Okay, now number 7, ask great questions. Oh, I love this one. I mean, I learn more from the questions I ask, because if you ask the right questions, you get better information, and from better information, you can make better decisions, and from better decisions, you should get better results. And questions are a good way to teach people and learn how much they know, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I find this one, you know, this is a personal favorite, gets left off a lot of these when somebody puts a list together like this, but we've all seen it. You're in a discussion and something's really stuck, and all of a sudden somebody asks a question that just unlocks it.
Right.
And you're right. It's not always about answers. As a leader, asking the right questions can be just as valuable.
Yep, exactly right. Okay, number 8. Make high-quality decisions, which I'm assuming is an outgrowth of asking good questions.
That's absolutely right. And I think this is one of those where, you know, what's a primary function of an executive? It is actually making decisions, right? And
right.
Thinking of decision-making as a discipline, a skill, and getting very good at, well, what goes into a decision, you know, the decision process we're using, ones that can be made fast, ones that need to, you know, take more time, but getting really good at decision making is critical. You know, and people can get stuck in all kinds of things. We can get stuck in analysis paralysis, but at some point, somebody has to make the call. That's decision making.
And one of the things I've learned in my own career is that my decision making got better based upon the bad decisions I made and how I learned from them.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a philosophy out there that, you know, even an average decision beats no decision, and I
right.
think that quite a bit. You got to move forward. You just put a great trait, though. Really good leaders do learn from what they did. You know, without naming any specific team, one of my favorite examples, though, look at NFL teams. After they have a game, what do? They look at the tape and learn from what didn't work. You can do that with your decision-making, too.
Oh, absolutely. I have a technique that I call watching the game films along those very lines, and I'm going to pick up in the next segment on that, because we're about 25 seconds from the end of this segment. So, everybody, talking to Bob Hughes, having a great discussion on leadership. I've got a page and a half of notes. You should have more. So I want you to stay there. We're going to be back in about 90 seconds.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And welcome back. This is Chris Ruisi, and we're in the final segment. We're like a bunch of racehorses here, coming around the final turn, heading towards that finish line. And we left off the last segment with my guest, Bob Hughes, talking about learning from every decision. And some of you who know me know that I always talk about the game films, that based upon what took place, if you had to redo it or do it again, what could you learn from it? What would you start doing? What would you stop doing? And so on and so on. Don't leave situations in the past. You can always learn something from it. And as I said at the very beginning of this show, exceptional, effective leaders, great leaders are always learning something. So, Bob, number 9 is of our top 10 traits is be a trusted leader. That kind of implied, right?
Yeah, look, this is one of those, and the word trust can get tossed around, but, you know, when you fundamentally think, and you started off talking about somebody, you know, people will follow great leaders like to the ends of the earth, and that's because ultimately they're trusted. You know, they believe in that person. And this is the classic, it takes a long time to build up trust, and it's through your actions, and people see you hold to commitments, you deal when things are off track, you deal with it in a forthright manner, it's built up, and you can lose it really fast. But, you know, I would argue, this is not, you know, don't have research on this one, but I would argue, all else being equal, a trusted leader is going to get better results and have a much better following than somebody they can't trust. That only, you know, that wears out on people fast.
Oh, no, it does, but trust is just, you know, if there was one big foundational block in being a leader, trust is it. From trust, all else is built. Because they don't trust, as you said, they're not going to follow you. And part of that trust is your ability to set expectations. And if you don't set expectations, people will set their own because they don't trust you. And an established trust that, you know, this is not going to sound earth-shattering, but it doesn't come with the title. It doesn't come with the big office. It doesn't come with the parking spot right by the front door. It comes, as you said, through your actions.
Yeah, that's it. That's it exactly. And, you know, and it's through that kind of track record that you commit and deliver on things over time. And I want to be honest, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, everything I say when it's going to happen by X, it's going to always happen by X. That's not the real world, right? But a trusted leader will respond to that, handle that, and you won't lose trust just because something's off track. You'll deal with it appropriately.
You know, a leader earns trust by sharing the glory and owning the mistakes in terms of what their team can do for them. and how they encourage that team to continue to perform. But trust is just so critical. And, you know, for those of you listening out there, just when after Bob and I are done today, go back and listen to the show, listen to this part on trust again, and write it all down. So number 10 of our top 10 list here, I feel like a radio commentator with the hits, is be an incredible communicator. I said this morning to an individual I was chatting with, communication is like oil in an engine. It makes sure that everything runs smoothly and works together. Talk to me about how important communication is.
Yeah, this is one of those fundamental ones. It's like we could start to create a big three or big four out of this list, but look, so much is done through communication. I would say so much misunderstanding comes through miscommunication. It's one of those where it's important for a leader to get really good at conveying the messages, but this is a two-parter. Communication is a tell, but it's also a listen. And it's being really good at listening, you know, and it can be as simple as this, though. If I want to get a message across, and it's not really coming across, if you're good with your audience, they don't even have to say a word. You can tell people aren't on the same page. So it's not about saying my message harder and stronger. Get in there, ask a question. Find out where they are and build a path between that and where you want to go, and you'll bring them along. But that takes art to do that.
What would be some techniques you would recommend someone to do in order to learn that art?
So one thing is, and your listeners, we all have this around us. It's the observation step. One thing to do is observe the leaders in your organization. There are some that are great communicators, and there are probably some that aren't the best of communicators. Learn the lessons from that. See what they did that was effective or not effective, and make it your own. You know, you can't really copy somebody, but you could make it your own.
You can adapt.
Yeah, that's right. You can adapt with it. You know, another thing is, I like to call this the pre, during, post. You know, the during is, yeah, we're actually talking about it directly. But think what you can do with people beforehand and after. A lot of understanding is built not in one shot, but there are multiple dialogues on it. And don't think it all happens right in the meeting.
No, not at all. Like you said, there's an awful lot going on before and after and during. Okay. Well, communication, that was number 10. Let me go repeat them all for you here. Number 1 was be results-oriented. Number 2 was be customer-focused. Number 3, vision, one of my favorites. excuse me. Number 4, I'm getting my notes here, was be strategically focused. Number 5 was effectively get work done through others. There's that old delegation. Number 6, be good at dealing with conflict. Sometimes conflict can be a good thing. Number 7 was ask great questions. Number 8 was make high-quality decisions, which making decisions, as Bob pointed out, is a key function of an executive. Number 9 is we can't underscore or stress the importance of more is be a trusted leader. And number 10, be an incredible communicator. So, Bob, if in our fast-paced world, make it simple, what would be the most important one or two things our listeners should take away from this discussion today?
You know, what I think they should look at is, you know, look down this and determine, here's where I want to focus my leadership development, you know, over those next 6 months. Look at something, maybe of a strength you want to leverage. Maybe there's an area where, you know, I don't do much of that asking great questions, and my group needs that. If they could identify an area and balance that against what is needed in the workplace, so we're focused on the right one or two, and then work on getting really good at that thing. And then, like life, once you're on those, you can pick another two.
Exactly right. Don't have to do it all in one fell swoop. Well, this has been great, Bob. I appreciate your time and your expertise today. For those of you know, I asked at the beginning, are leaders born or made? And we acknowledge the fact that there are some folks who are born with certain traits and attributes. But the fact is, if you want to be a great leader, it is completely 100% within your control to do so. But have a plan. Use these 10 points, these 10 traits that Bob and I have talked about, or Bob talked about in his post. And then, as Bob just said, start with a plan, pick two, work on the two that are most important to you at this particular point in time, and then continue your growth and evolution or maturation as a leader. So I want to thank Bob for being a great guest. Within 24 hours, my crack engineering staff in Tempe, Arizona, will have a recorded version of this show up on my show page. Bob's website is CamdenConsulting.com. And as I mentioned earlier, be sure to visit my website, ChrisRuisi.com. And while you're there, sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. It comes out every Monday morning at 7:30. One item only of particular interest and learning. Also, go check out my Step Up and Play Big Moments, my podcasts. Those are all part of my free learning offerings. And be sure to visit my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ChrisRuisi or Coach Chris Ruisi. I'm sorry, Coach Chris Ruisi. So that's it for today. I want to thank you all for listening and for your ongoing support. Bob, I want to thank you. Everybody have a great week. Remember our first responders and veterans and, of course, the men and women who are today currently serving in our military and, of course, their families who are at home. So let's get ready to go out after this show and do something. Let's make something happen. Let's take care of business, if you will. But go on out there and step up and play big and make something happen. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.